Hello, this is Jo Tomlin. I'm at the Edinburgh Fringe talking with a performer. Please introduce yourself.
Hi there, I'm Naomi Paul, and I'm a writer and performer of comedy theatre and songs and spoken word.
What is the title of your show?
So this year, the title of my show is Despite Everything, Price Still Includes Biscuits.
Now, is this a different show from before? Have you changed it? Because I know you've returned to the Fringe this year.
That's right. Well, the original show was called Price Includes Biscuits, and then it was Price Still Includes Biscuits. And then there was a two-year gap, because I wasn't here last year. And then this year I've brought a revised version of the show back. With everything that's going on, it's called Despite Everything, Price Still Includes Biscuits.
Well, before we go any further, I have to ask you, what kind of biscuits do you offer?
So, in the show, you get the same biscuits which are on the flyer, which are a very nice sort of chocolate cookie, crumbly kind of biscuit. It's quite amusing in the show because we also have a limited supply of gluten-free biscuits as well. And I do a little bit of a joke around health and safety and being careful when you eat. And so we have a biscuit break in the show. And that is a way for the audience to talk to each other and just get to know who else is in the room.
What made you write this show? What was the impetus?
I'd written quite a lot of shorter pieces in the past, and I realised that if I brought them together, there was quite a thematic pattern. So I write a lot about Jewish identity. I also write a lot about what's happening in the here and now, like in the workplace or in society. And I found that there was a thread of satirical comment that I could also write songs that cover some of those issues. So part of the show deals with identity, but not just Jewish identity, but about fitting into society. So I talk about immigration as well. And then some of it is more personal. So I have a certain amount of Jewish stuff which appeals universally, but is that very sort of deadpan, slightly self-deprecating kind of humour.
You mentioned songs, so do you sing in the show?
Yes, I sing in the show. I have five songs in this show. They're different styles, so there's a song with a klezmer style, there's a more folky one, there's a blues one, there's a tango one. I'm not accompanying myself, I'm not good enough to do that, but I have backing tracks made, so mostly piano, but sometimes guitar, in the different styles.
And did you compose the music for the songs?
Yes, I composed the music for the songs, and then the people who provided the backing tracks, the three different people who play piano or guitar, they've arranged the songs so that what we have is a really polished performance at the end. One of them's in Brighton, and two in Birmingham.
Mm. Now, you mentioned it's about Jewish humour. What if you're not Jewish? Can people still follow, or do you explain it? Or how does that work?
I think it's completely universal. I don't explain it. I think that sometimes it's just the sort of the punchline, which is so ridiculous. Sometimes it's the deadpan humour. Sometimes it's just finding an unusual angle on a situation that you might not have found before. And sometimes it's a sort of an absurd connection. So I don't think you have to be Jewish to understand it, because I'm not really talking about religion. I'm talking about upbringing, identity, fitting into a secular society. So it doesn't really have a religious context.
How many one-person shows or performances have you created?
I've created two double bill shows. Well, I suppose you could say that they're not one-person shows, but we were doing separate sections in them. And then in Edinburgh, a total of four, where the last three were sort of improvements and changes to an existing base show, if you like.
And what brought you to performance? Were you always, did you study performing, or was it something you came to naturally?
As a child, I wanted to act. But I didn't think I'd ever be allowed to. So I studied politics and economics. I studied English much later, and I've done a creative writing BA and MA. And it was during the creative writing course, when we were sharing work in groups, that I discovered that people were laughing at my work. And they said to me, "Do you realise you're funny?" And I didn't. I had never sat around and told jokes or anything like that. And once the course was over, then I experimented with going around comedy clubs and doing open mic slots to see whether the "we think you're funny" was true. And that led to a double bill show in Edinburgh with half an hour of material, and then after that, full-length shows with solo performance. But the actual comedy side really arose from writing.
One of the things that interests me is how you pull a laugh from the audience. I've seen different people do it, and I've been in plays where there have been lines that are funny, and there's a way you can say it or do it that you can get people to laugh. Do you have any techniques, or how do you know when you're running up that you want or you know people are going to laugh?
It's a very interesting question, because the same show two nights running can be completely different, and a laugh can be followed another night by silence. One of the things I try to do is be very brave and hold silence for as long as possible. So if I'm wanting to bring in a punchline, or I want to hopefully create laughter, then I'm going to look at the audience for as long as possible and try not to rush, because sometimes it's the rushing that can lose the timing. But it's very hard to legislate for, because one night can be so different from another, and if the show starts with people who are clearly very engaged and laughing loudly, I'm somebody who barely laughs out loud. I'll smile throughout a whole show, but I'm not necessarily going to laugh. So you can't always judge that people aren't amused if you don't hear laughter.
You mentioned earlier that you have a spot in your show where people actually talk to each other during the show. Could you tell me about that, and what made you do that?
I'm not a stand-up comedian, but I do interact with the audience. And I talk a lot in the show about communication and how we communicate with each other and how people might meet each other in social settings. So in a way, I'm providing the audience with some of the things that I'm talking about. But I just like the idea of doing it, because then people interact with each other. And then in the second half of the show, people are much more relaxed as well. And they may know a little bit more about the room that they're in. And so it breaks down the performer-audience split, but it also breaks down the audience-to-audience member split, because you sit in silence with the person next to you and you don't know who they are. But you might know a little bit more by the end.
And what about the reactions of the audience members afterwards to that part of the show?
Oh, they really like it. Absolutely love it. In some audiences, we'll start the biscuit break and we play music in the background and I just sit and watch. And often the conversation gets very animated and you have to, you know, say sorry, have to stop now. Some audiences are quieter, they're more formal, they don't really get going. It's completely dependent on who's there and who's willing to talk to somebody that they haven't spoken to before.
We're in the third week of The Fringe now, so you've probably been performing for 3 weeks. Has the show changed or evolved since you began 3 weeks ago?
So this year I didn't actually do 3 weeks. This year I took a decision to come just for 2 weeks. So I started last week, and this is the beginning of my second week. I don't know if the show has changed. I think I'm settling into it. And I think the responses of the very enthusiastic responses of the audience might be making me. It's not so much the show that's changed. I've changed in the way I'm responding to the audience. So it's not stand up, and I'm not doing lots and lots of audience interaction. But where people say things, sometimes I'm able to use that, bring it in again later in the show, reincorporate some of the things that people have said. So I think it's me getting more relaxed into how I deal with the audience rather than the actual script changing.
And finally, what plans do you have for future shows here or future writing?
Well, this show is very popular. The material's current, but it's not so current that it couldn't travel longer. So I'm hoping to be able to take this show to other festivals, and I certainly hope to come back to Edinburgh next year, ideally with a new show, I hope.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much indeed.